Hey, I want to ask anybody and everybody, how many of you went to a children's Christmas program this year? Went to a grade school or someplace and seen a Christmas program? No one? Well, I have a one here story to tell you about a Christmas program. There was a group of six-year-old students who were singing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And when it got to the verse or the line that said, God and sinners reconcile, which was a tricky one for these six-year-old little kids, but you know, there was this one little boy in particular, who completely drowned out the rest of the children. And as they came again to that line, God and sinners reconcile, he sang, God and sinners dressed in style. So, Heavenly Father, this is the third week of Advent. Let us be reminded of the good news of the birth of Christ, your precious Son, and that the power that it brings to us with great joy this Christmas season, the Christmas season and throughout the year. Our joy isn't dependent, Lord, isn't dependent on how we feel. It's not dependent on what's going on around us. It's not dependent on the people that we're with. It's not dependent on the gifts that we give, and it's not dependent on the gifts that we receive. The joy that we have comes only from Christ. I did not get the number, but I'm sure it's high. If you were to go through the Bible and find out where joy or rejoicing, I think I remember it saying like 120 throughout the whole Bible. It might even be more than that. I think I remember seeing it in one spot where it was like 120. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 33, we heard it the other night. And by the way, Veronica, you did such a good job. It was a very good. Thank you. It said, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin named Mary. The angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of a greeting this was. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end. That's a promise to us. His kingdom will have no end. But I want to jump back to something here. Remember when the angel came to Mary, he said, fear not? Well, if you'll think about it, in just about every divine encounter that angels had with mortals, one of the first things that the angel said was, fear not. I can imagine Jesus saying this to them, to the angels. Now, most of the people I'll tell you to speak to will be scared totally out of their wits. So the first thing you've got to say to them is, fear not. You see, God doesn't want to scare us into faith. God wants us to draw closer to him and lean on him and grow in our faith. God, we know, has many names. The Most High. You know, God with us. The great I am, Jehovah. All of these things have meaning. But with God with us, he's telling us that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he will always be with us. He'll be with us in our good times, in our victories. He'll be with us when we feel defeated. So if he's with us, that's a reason for us to feel that joy. But I want you to understand something. A lot of people say, I'm so happy. Oh, this is one of the happiest days of my life. Well, what are they dealing with right there? They're dealing with the circumstances of the moment, of the day. So A lot of people get happiness and joy interchangeably. They put them together as meaning the same thing. But they are very different. Happiness, like I said, is got to do with the circumstances that are maybe going on at that time or that season in your life. Whereas joy is based on your faith with God or your faith in God. Rick Warren, who wrote the book The Purpose-Driven Life, his wife also is a writer, and she wrote a book, Choose Joy Because Happiness Isn't Enough. She writes this in her book. My problem was my definition of what joy meant. She thought joy was feeling good all the time. But she said that's not the case. She says, even though there are those who are optimistic and they are upbeat, they're going to have their days where it's not so good. I can think of one individual right off the bat who every time I see him, he's always got a smile on his face. He's always got a giggle coming out of him. You know, I've seen him do funerals. I've seen him, be with families that have lost a loved one. I've seen him personally go through a loss. I've seen him, but every single time, you know, within, if you stuck around him long enough, you could see that joy because he would say something funny or he would think about the positive in that situation. And I think all of us know someone like that, that no matter what they go through, you can still, if you stay around them long enough, couple of minutes, couple of hours, you're going to see that joy come out. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control, that God has every detail covered. When we can find and have that pot, that knowing that God's going to take care of it, that puts a joy in us. I like this. It says, we're to praise God in every situation, but not for every situation. I talked about this last week. You know, we think that when something bad happens, it came from God. If God might have allowed it to happen, but God did not make that bad situation happen. But we still, no matter what the situation, we still praise God and thank God in, not for it, but in the situation. Now, I want to talk about different types of joy. Joy, or different aspects of joy. Joy is constant. It's constant. That doesn't mean, like Kate Warren says, it's not something that you're joyful every single moment of your day, but it's not temporary like happiness. It's constant. So what is the picture of joy look like in the Bible? Well, you can find joy in trusting God when you want to doubt in a situation or circumstance. And here's a good example of that. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Mary said, I am the Lord's slave or handmaiden. I am the Lord's handmaiden. May it be done to me according to your word. Now, if she was to look at that in the natural, or if she was to go by the way she felt or her reasoning, she would say, this can't be. I can't do this. This is too overwhelming. I cannot take I cannot conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. What are people going to say? I'm engaged. What's this going to do to Joseph? She didn't think about all that stuff. She didn't think about that. She just trusted God in it. And this is what she said. She responds right away to the angel. And she says, I am the Lord's handmaiden. May it be done to me according to your word. She didn't hesitate. Okay, now you think about that. Now they're going to travel from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. That's almost an 80-mile journey by donkey and walking. She's far enough along that she's probably 7 months, 8 months along, if not more. And she's riding this donkey, and she's uncomfortable. She wants to walk. She wants to sit. She wants to walk. She's uncomfortable. But she still has a hope because she knows that she has a mission, that God has given, has a plan and a purpose for her. within her is that joy. There's that expectation of what God has started in her and will complete through her. Joy is receiving what you want to reject. Oh, I love this. You know, the innkeeper, when they went to the inn, there was no place in the room, you know, room for them in the inn. So they were rejected. It says, the innkeeper made room for Mary and Joseph only in the stable. They found room in a stable. But in Hebrews 13:2, it says, don't reject to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. So when Mary trusted God, she found that peace and she found that joy. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. When there was no room in the inn, God made a way. God always provides. Let me ask you this morning. We are all innkeepers. We are all innkeepers. And my question to you, do you have room in your life and in your heart for Jesus? So how can we choose joy? Well, first off, we can share, number one, we can share with others the things that we trust God for. We can say, you know, when you're around somebody that doesn't have a faith like you have, if they begin to see in you, let's do a scenario here. Let's say one of your children is going through a devastating time in their life, and your friend says to you, how can you be so calm through all this? Look what your child's going through. And you can just simply respond by saying, God's got this covered. God's going to take care of this. And, you know, many a times, my grandson, Hunter, will pop in my mind, and I'll just start praying for him. And I just say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Well, Satan tries to put fear on me and saying, he's not doing good. I've heard some bad stuff. And you heard this and you heard that. And I say, no, I'm not going there with that. That has no substance for me. I'm going to stand on what God promised me, that he is going to be saved and delivered and set free. And I'm not moving from that. By doing that, you're sharing with others. When that person says to you, how can you deal with that? You know, come up to me and say, that's your grandson. He's going through this. How are you being so calm and cool and collective? Why are you having such joy today? Look what happened to your grandson, or look what your grandson. No, I have to continue walking in that joy and in that peace and that hope, because then I'm showing God that I'm not moving. My faith is not moving with this. And when we do that, we share that kind of faith with those that don't know it. What we're doing is showing them a hope. And we're showing them a joy. We're showing them a peace that doesn't waver, that doesn't move by circumstances or situations. Another thing that we can do to help choose joy is encourage. Encourage someone who is experiencing fear and doubt and worry. Choose to encourage that person. Encourage them and edify them. Lift them up. You know, when you think about something that you're going through and you're down here in the valley, maybe that's the person you think, maybe that's who I need to go to, because I always feel pretty good when I'm around them. Don't you want to be the person that other person comes to and says, I feel good when I'm around you? I feel hope. I feel encouragement. I feel joy. I feel peace. When I'm around you, I just feel that sense of whatever. What is it? And you can say, it's God. It's God. God lives in me, and he overflows, and he's touching you. He's reaching out for you. That's a way we can choose joy. Another way, we can elevate elevate or make an inventory of the things that bring us joy. And I'm not talking about things, material things. I'm talking about the choices that we make. Take an inventory. Take a step back and say, you know, I made this choice, and I'm so glad I did. I'm going to make that same choice another time. I'm going to look at all these past things that I've done that edified and glorified the Lord and made a difference in somebody else's life. You're more apt to want to do that again. Take inventory. Again, take inventory of the things that you want to improve on and things that you found joy in, not material things, but people, situations, circumstances, things that you want to bless somebody. That brought you joy. It probably brought you more joy than the person that you gave it to. So, the last one here is express. Make a point of expressing your joy to and for others. In other words, saying, I am so glad I got to see you today. I remember Marilyn and I, and I think Eleanor, we were always saying that to some of these people yesterday when they stopped by the booth. We'd say, we're so glad to see you. We're so glad that we got to see you today and that, you know, you were able to come today. And we're so blessed to see you. That's what you need to do, edify, encourage others. Expressing the experience that you have during this season of Christmas. Now, we've all heard this before, but I want us to soak it up a little bit here. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is discord, let me show union. Where there is doubt, let me show faith. Where there is despair, let me show hope. Where there is darkness, let me be the light. Let me be the light to help them. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Where there is injury, let me pardon. These are all ways that we can find joy. It goes on to say, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled, but to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. So when we do this inventory that I talked about, are we one of those high maintenance people that we always want to make sure that we're consoled? Or are we one of those people that always wants to be understood? I want you to understand what I'm going through. I want you to understand how I feel. I feel. Or I want love. I need to be loved. Are we that high maintenance person? Or are we the person who is the consoler? Are we the person who wants to understand what that person is going through? And are we the person that wants to show and express love? How do we do that? By giving of ourselves. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. You know, as Christians, joy is expressed when we think about salvation, when we think about eternal life, when we think about Christ. But joy also comes when we share and give of ourselves. And that's when the true joy comes, when we love as Christ loved, as Christ first loved us. You know, that's a gift that keeps giving. There's a song I used to sing years ago, and it goes, the gift goes on and on and on. And that's what it does. It never dies out. That gift keeps going on and on and on. Today I want to sing a song to you about Mary and what she went through, but she kept her joy. And with the song, when you hear the words, she knew none of this. She knew none of what Jesus was going to accomplish. But yet she followed through. Sorry. Thank you, Lord. This is to edify you and to worship you and give you the glory. For it is all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Thank you, Father. Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy, he would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And the child you delivered, oh, he'll soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, oh, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. And the lame will leap, and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy, he would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding, well, he's the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know. Closing. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you know that joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, that flooded the hearts of the angels, the joy that flooded the hearts of the wise men and the many hosts of heaven. And then it flooded the hearts of Mary and Joseph. Father, I ask that joy fill our hearts today, because it is still the power, that joy brings us the power so that we can rejoice and celebrate this season of Advent. Our joy is a gift that you have given us, Lord. That it was given to us on that first Christmas, your precious Son, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can celebrate the birth of your precious Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.